Browns go to 2-6. And by the way, they are three games out of a playoff spot. Guys, are we bringing back seven in heaven? Are we bringing back seven in heaven?
Do you want to?
I don't know. You guys are sitting there talking about draft picks.
I don't know if you can, because you both had them in the
hell.
First level of hell, which is the most hellish you can get.
Well, yeah, but if Deshaun Watson is not there and it's Jameis Winston, we might have to go to heaven.
You're putting them in heaven already?
I said might. No, they're inching closer to purgatory. Closer. The season ain't over yet. Did you see how excited Kevin Stefanski was at the end of that game yesterday?
Did you see
that highlight?
You see Bubba Ventrone try to talk to him. He told him to leave him alone.
Get out of here. Get out of here. You could tell, obviously, there was so much emotion. Just really the whole game. And I would have said that win or lose. This isn't just a results thing that they won. I mean, I thought you could tell fairly early on, not just about the competitive nature of the game, but just you could see a different kind of fired up Browns team. And they didn't have everything going their way. You know, remember, they were losing at the half. They had a total gaffe, a total Browns will be Browns moment. And so it wasn't like everybody in that building thought they were going to win, but you did feel better just about every aspect of that game. You felt like you had a chance too, because you had a quarterback that was able to go down the field. Look what a different game it is when you have that. It means that the defense, they have to defend every ounce of the football field. Guys, you just didn't have to do that with Deshaun. The only chance Deshaun was going down the field was if he got out of the pocket. And that was, even then, it seemed like he was going to Jerry Jeudy 6 yards down the field. Like 40 yards of him running around scrambling for a 6-yard gain. That wasn't the case yesterday. Guys were open as intended at different levels of the football field. And then again, defense, they were flying around. And that's not easy to do against Lamar. I mean, Lamar, he got out of the pocket and was up to his Lamar tricks, but I felt like they hung in there as best anybody could against that guy.
216-474-0092. If you're on hold, stay there. We got to welcome in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, a big day yesterday, a big win, an emotional win. I know you were on the Cleveland Browns kickoff show with Baskett and Tyvus Powell. But can you give us just some of your best memories of the great Jim Donovan?
Yeah, you know, the thing that always amazed me about Jim is his resilience. Unless you were paying attention to any announcement that he had made over the last 15 or so years about his health, you had no idea that he was fighting the battle. He was just always full of life. Nobody wanted the Browns to win more than Jim. He wanted that for Browns fans. He treated every game like a playoff game. If you listened to him, you had no idea that times were tough for the Browns. And let's be honest about it, Ken. For the bulk of the 25 years that he was, times were tough for the Cleveland Browns. And he was also very open and honest and candid with fans about the state of affairs when it came to the football team. But, he painted masterpieces with his words. It just tale that he had when he would call games, never made mistakes, professionally. One of the best to ever do it. And then, of course, off the mic, one of the best people you'll meet, too.
Daryl, the elephant in the room coming in today's game, was it all just Deshaun Watson? We pickered earlier in the show. What say you?
Well, I wrote last night that the Achilles injury did not end Deshaun Watson's career with the Cleveland Browns, but I think Jameis Winston did yesterday. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. Look at the numbers. 5 of the last 7 games that Deshaun Watson has not started for the Cleveland Browns, and I am including the season finale last year against the Cincinnati Bengals where all the backups played, okay? I'm even including that. But if you take that one out and you just stick with the games that the Browns were actually trying to win, it's 5 of 6, but the quarterback threw for 300 yards. Joe Flacco did it 4 times in 5 starts. Then, of course, like I said, the giveaway game. And then yesterday, Jameis Winston, No rust. No, I mean, Grant, we got the full Jameis experience. Probably should have thrown about 3 or 4 interceptions yesterday, but I think Jimmy kind of went down on the Browns and helping them out a little bit with some of the breaks that went their way. But, like, I mean, it's plain as day. Looked like a completely different football team yesterday. Looked like a completely different offense. The offensive line, which I'll admit, I've been beaten up all season. They looked great yesterday. They really did. And I think a big reason why is because you didn't have a quarterback bailing out of the pocket 2 seconds after having the ball in his hands. Jameis was under pressure yesterday, but you saw him stepping through that pressure, staying in the pocket and delivering the ball down the field. So it's plain as day to me. It really is. And, you know, some people might feel I'm being unfair. I really don't. The sample size is there. You got guys coming off the bench throwing for 300 yards, and the $230 million guy couldn't throw for 200 yards this year. It ain't the offense. It ain't who's calling plays. It isn't the supporting cast. It's the quarterback. Sorry, that's just the cold,
well,
hard Darryl, facts.
I'm not trying to blame anybody else in what I'm saying here over the last 7 games before this one. The 7 games before this one. The only thing I'm trying to say is that I've only seen one game, and it looked really, really good. I don't want to say all these things and have to take them back next week, because they could look listless next week against the Chargers now that there's a game of tape on them.
I don't know that they are, and this is why I wouldn't be queuing the 7 in heaven up if I were you guys. I don't know that they're going to, keep winning, but it's going to be watchable. That's what I feel good about now. First 7 games, the offense was unwatchable. That was fun to watch yesterday. They trailed 3 times in that game, came back each time. They were down 10-6, 17-13, and then with 2.5 to play, they fell behind 24-23. And they came back each time, regained the lead, then ultimately won the football game. Again, things that don't happen when Deshaun Watson is on the field. So, again, sample size, it is what it is. I mean, the results are what the results are. Now, Kevin Stefanski was asked about it last night, didn't want to go there. But, I mean, you see, come on, Ken. You see what I see.
I see it too. I just can't say it just yet. I feel it might be a little irresponsible by me.
I'm not afraid to say it. I'm sorry. And I'm not calling you out. I'm not. I'm just saying.
You call me out all you want. That's fine.
No, I'm not.
Tell everybody I'm a sissy. Not. Tell them all. Tell the whole listening audience I'm a sissy. Say it now, Daryl.
Come to the dark side.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead, Tone. Sorry.
Daryl, the one question I do have is, right after the game, a bunch of the Kevin Stefanski haters were like, see, needed to give up the play calling. I was not one of them. I thought it looked like the play calling from last year when they had Joe Flacco. I think it had way more to do with the quarterback than the play calling.
Yeah, that, I completely agree with that. And look, I think Kevin, instead of criticizing the guy, I think people should, compliment him. He didn't have to do that. I mean, that's real leadership to recognize, hey, maybe this will help. Maybe me giving this up and having Ken handle it. Of course, I'll be on the headset, so if I need to jump in with something, I can. But, you know, I give Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit. He could have still been calling plays. But he decided it's in the best interest of the team. Let's try something different. I've been doing it for 4-plus years. The resume speaks for itself. Very successful doing it. He's got the best winning percentage of any Browns coach since the franchise came back in 1999, but he gave it up in the interest of the team. So I'm going to give Kevin credit for that, more so than sitting there and saying, see, he had to give up the play calling. You do that, and look what you get. No, it comes down to the quarterback on the field. That's what it comes down to. And the players responded to the quarterback on the field as well. They were catching the footballs. The offensive line was blocking. Got some help with the running game. Not an easy team to run against. Best run defense in the league. And I know some will say, well, the Ravens were the worst against the pass. Their secondary was beat up. No Marlon Humphrey and all that. But you still got to go out and execute. And for the first time this season, We got to see a quarterback on the field capable of executing.
Now, folks, remember, it's always game day in Cleveland. It's the podcast with Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin. They include post-game drops after every single game. Subscribe now to the podcast at 92.3.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. We see this receiving core for the future. Does this change the way that we might see, yes, Cedric Tillman and everybody else?
Cedric certainly opened my eyes because I was thinking through the first portion of the season here, hey, this is a guy that once again the team was pumping up and saying great things about and telling us that he was going to be a big factor, and, well, he really wasn't. And then yesterday they went to him in a critical moment, and he delivered. What was ultimately the game-winning touchdown catch on a 38-yard pass there from Jameis Winston. So I think it helps when you have a quarterback that goes through more than one read, that is able to be patient and not get over-anxious with things. And you ended up with, what, six different receivers catching footballs yesterday? I was sitting there yesterday, Ken, saying, where has this been for 7 weeks? Because I hate going back in time, but I'm going to do it. If I'm looking at the Giants game, I'm looking at that Vegas game, I'll look at the Eagles game, even the Bengals loss, the previous week, like, with an offense like this, man, those are four games that could have been wins. They didn't get run off the field in those games. Could have won those games with an offense playing.
Wow, if Jameis Winston started the entire season, what do you think their record would be right now?
I think that they would be no worse than 500.
I'm with them. I'm totally with them. Daryl, the trade deadline is next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore put some good stuff on film.
Yeah.
Obviously, so did Za'Darius Smith, and boy, Ken almost seemed troubled. I stopped him in his tracks when I said, oh yeah, and if another playoff team needs a quarterback, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, trade Jameis? Good. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know that I do that.
I guess the question is, what would be the point of keeping him when they're the playoffs? You got like a 1% possibility.
There's a lot of bad teams out there. If you win again this week, you're 3-6. That doesn't start any sort of an ascent at all for you?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking next year. If he performs well for the remainder of this season.
Hell of a point.
I think that you still need to solve the problem in 2025 and 2026. And I'm not saying Jameis is a long-term problem. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to run the keyboard and write a column and say,
was it a one-year deal, Daryl? Or what yeah. specifically yeah. was the deal with Jameis?
Yeah.
Then you can get him back next year. What would be the problem?
Yeah.
Now you're getting asset for him.
I would like him. You want him to stay in the offense. Yeah. You want him to be doing. Yeah, you don't want to trade him and then see if he'll
come. So we're
back.
Not trading anybody at the deadline now, is what you're saying.
I'm not trading Jameis.
A team with two wins
but
almost halfway through the season.
They could have three at the deadline. They could have three by the deadline.
Do you know how silly that will look if they just. Jameis has his normal games
after the
deadline.
What are you getting for Jameis Winston,
Anthony? I'm sorry, Daryl.
What's so important? What are you getting for Jameis Winston, Anthony? What's the pick you're getting for him?
You're not getting any assets for any. So don't trade
do that. You're not answering my question.
So don't trade anybody.
Get him, Daryl.
I'm fine with if they.
I think they would take whatever they get for these guys.
Go for it. But I'm saying with Jameis, I wouldn't trade him. What's the pick you're getting for Jameis?
I don't know, but. It's more than what they will have if they don't trade Jameis Winston.
So you're saying that the potential of a fifth
so you guys are holding out playoff hopes.
Pick,
so now
I'm not holding out any.
So
playoff
now
hopes.
Now the fact that the trade deadline is next Tuesday, we won this one game, which was very much up in the air and was an awesome game. But if Hamilton holds on to that pick, it's a different conversation today.
I disagree because. Jameis still, even if Hamilton hangs on to that pick, still a pretty good performance by Jameis Winston. Yes, yeah. it was a terrible throw in a critical situation, and we would be, talking about it. But Jameis still produced. The offense looked competent. The offense looked like a actual NFL caliber offense. So, you know, I don't know that the fifth or fourth round pick you'd get for Jameis Winston is more important than keeping him on this roster through the end of the year and then being in a position to re-sign him next offseason and bring him back. You know, I don't want to see them do to Jameis. Again, I'm making the assumption that he's going to play like this for the rest of the season, where I don't know if they're going to win, but the offense is going to be competent. They're going to score points. They're going to produce. Yes, he's going to throw some picks, and we're going to be tearing our hair out over that. But I don't want it to be another Joe Flacco situation, because what was everyone saying in weeks 2 through 7? Man, really stinks the Browns didn't bring back Joe Flacco, right? So that's my whole point here, and why I'm not crazy about trading Jameis Winston, because it'd be nice to have some competent quarterback play to get you through the rest of this season and give you an option next year, depending on where things stand with number 4.
I agree with Dangerous Daryl. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. You've given us something to argue about.
You bet, guys. Have a great day.